Welcome to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Dave Ball here along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. And Chuck, today we have the opportunity to re-listen to a message that you taught several months ago on how to make wise financial decisions. And I know for myself, especially when the economy is as tough as it's been, having good, wise financial counsel to make wise financial decisions is so important.
Absolutely, Dave, because most of the people who write me are simply asking either what would a wise financial decision be or how do I make a wise financial decision with the circumstances that I'm faced with. And I believe the Lord wants us to seek out wisdom, especially when it comes to money.
Well, Chuck, we recently got an email from a listener out in California who has taken that to heart. And she writes, a few months ago, I finally began to keep a 3x5 card in my purse and write down all of my purchases. It's incredible how much less I spend now since doing that one little thing. It's enabled me to finally pay down my credit card. And so far in 3 months, I've paid $2,000. I'm just a substitute clerk for my local school district, and now I only owe $800 on my credit card. I hope to pay that off soon. Recently, hear this, this is interesting. Recently, due to cutbacks at my job, I'm working less than before. So I started to sell things here at my home on eBay. Now I've sold $500 worth in 3 weeks. Thanks be to God and to you and Money Life for your encouragement to keep reminding us to get out of debt so we can spend our money the way God wants us to.
Oh, I just love that email, and thank you for writing. It's so encouraging to know that people are listening and that people are applying the truth of God's word to their life. You don't know how much that means to me. And I welcome all of your emails. I'll try to get to them as best I'm able to. Well, today we're going to talk about how you can make wise financial decisions. I'm going to go through 7 clear steps to follow. This is a very popular subject that I've been able to teach on before, and I know it's going to be helpful to all of you who are faced with a major financial decision, because God does not want us to be foolish. In fact, the Proverbs tell us, of what use is money in the hand of a fool? Have you ever thought about that? What if the Lord thought that you were being a fool with the money that He's given you? Certainly, we would want to run from that. And when you run from that, you should run to Him to get knowledge. He says in Proverbs 18:15, the heart of the discerning acquires knowledge. The ears of the wise seek it out. So the Lord is saying, go for it. If you want to make wise financial decisions, come to me and I'll show you how to do it.
Well, in just a moment, Chuck will be back with his message, How to Make Wise Financial Decisions. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries, and we'll be right back.
Are you ready to begin your journey to financial freedom? Let Crown co-founder Howard Dayton be your personal tour guide using the brand new Your Money Map video guide. It's based on the popular Crown Money Map, which is the practical, biblically-based resource putting over 300,000 people on their journey. This new video guide was created to give you step-by-step guidance and encouragement. The 6-part video guide is perfect for individual or group study, and no facilitator training is required. Simply watch it while following along with Howard's book, Your Money Map, and you're ready to start. Take the next step towards true financial freedom by going online to crown.org or calling 1-800-722-1976 for the Your Money Map video guide. Again, that's 1-800-722-1976 or visit crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're going to talk about how to make wise financial decisions and the 7 steps involved so that you can understand how to make a wise financial decision by following a simple process. Now, it's interesting. The Lord said whether you have a lot or a little, that you can actually have money but still make foolish decisions with it, and that's because you have no desire to get wisdom. But the Proverbs tell us that the heart of the discerning acquires it, that the heart wants and hungers for knowledge, and the ears of the wise seek it out. So let's go there. Let's seek out how to make wise financial decisions. The first step is to understand the big picture or the context of your financial circumstances. It reminds me of a story of a man who employed about 100 people. He had a partner in business and their company was growing. They had a really good employee that earned about $50,000 a year. One afternoon, the employee knocked on his door and said, I'd like to borrow $500 if you don't mind. I'll pay you back on payday, just about a week away. He says, okay. And being a godly employer, he said, I'll think about that. I'll pray about that. Let me get back to you. As soon as the employee left, he went across the hall and he asked his partner, has this particular person ever asked you to borrow any money? He said, has he? Almost every single payday, he's in my office asking to borrow $500 to $1,000. I finally told him, no, I'm not going to loan him money anymore, that he needed to get some help if he was always short of money. Well, he had simply traveled across the hall, and now he was asking the other partner for $500 before payday. Now, this godly employer did something very, very wise. He asked the employee back in, and he said, why do you need $500? And the employee started to explain that he just had to, you know, juggle some bills, and he would get out of a bind if he could get some help. But he said, what kind of bind are you in? And this man opened up, and he said, right now, I'm behind on my rent at the apartment. I'm behind on all of my utilities. I'm behind on my telephone bill. I'm behind on my car payments. I'm being threatened with repossession. I'm behind on my alimony payments. I'm behind on my taxes. I'm threatened with garnishment from the IRS. I'm behind on my hot checks at the bank. The list went on and on and on. And what they determined, if he didn't loan him $500, the man was in danger of being homeless. His financial circumstances were a complete disaster. And once the employer, the boss, understood the big picture, his advice was radically different than loaning him $500. Now, there's a wonderful end to that story. He literally got involved and started coaching and counseling this particular man. And in 9 months, he went from being completely upside down, a financial train wreck, a financial disaster, a complete financial fool, to having his finances in order and living right side up again, where he actually was able to start to save money himself instead of constantly look for people to borrow it from. So if you're going to make a wise financial decision, always understand the big picture or the context of your financial circumstances so that you can deal with the second step, which is understanding the real problem. I recently got an email from listeners who said, should we borrow money from our parents to make our mortgage payments? Well, I had to take step one and ask for the big picture because there was something in there that bothered me. And so I asked the question, which turned out to be right. They didn't mean the mortgage payments on their home. They meant the mortgage payments, plural, on both of their homes. In other words, they had two houses. And the combined mortgage payments equaled 100% of their total income. Both houses were costing about 50% of their income, and one of them was supposed to sell before they bought the other one, and it didn't close, so they ended up with two houses, and they were wanting to go to their parents for money to be able to make those payments, and their hope was that one of the homes would sell, and they would be out of the bind. But you know what the real problem was? They had a lifestyle problem, because the reality was, after digging deeper and further, they couldn't afford either one of them. You know, no one should have housing expenses that equals half your budget, especially two houses that equal half of it each. And so their problem was much deeper than borrowing money from their parents. In fact, they didn't need to borrow money from their parents. They needed to make drastic reductions in their lifestyle and escape from the financial bondage that they were in. They were trying to keep a lifestyle going that would never work. And once they understood the real problem, both houses got put up for sale so that they could escape the trap they were in. Now, when you understand the real problem, it doesn't always mean you have to reduce your expenses. A pastor friend of mine shared an example with me of a young man who continually came to the church asking for help month to month for his family. This young couple had two children at home, and their annual income was less than $25,000 a year. Now, he was faithful and wise with what he had, but he just couldn't make it. And the church was constantly helping, but the pastor got an idea one day. He said, what if I helped you to earn some more money? He said, we need somebody right now to do the lawn care for the church. And what if we hired you to do that? Well, the young man said, great, I'll come in on the weekends and do the lawn care for the church, and that will help with my income. Well, it went on from there that he went to other churches and started doing lawn care for churches on the weekends, and he doubled his annual income. And because he was already faithful with a few things, by understanding the real problem and his income increasing, he got out of a financial bind. So that's step number two in understanding how to make a wise financial decision. It's not always a spending problem. Sometimes it legitimately is an income problem. Now here's step number three. To make a wise financial decision, first understand the big picture, understand the context of the decision you're trying to make. Secondly, understand the real root problem. And then third, understand the consequences of those choices. So let's take an example. Behind door A is more, and behind door B is less. Now you make a choice which one you would rather have, A or B. Do you see the power of that very simple assumption that we always make? What always seems to drive our financial decisions in our culture? That door number A has to be better because there's more. But do you realize that even without thinking about it, you haven't measured the consequences associated with those choices? In fact, behind door B, it may be better for you. It may be a wiser financial decision to choose door B, even though it says less on it. Well, we're going to talk more about understanding the consequences of choices when making wise financial decisions. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and we'll be right back.
Our economy has been struggling. Companies have cut expenses. Job security has taken on new meaning. Now, more than ever, you need to know God's purpose for your life and your work. You can find direction using the Career Direct Complete Guidance System from Crown Financial Ministries. Career Direct is a comprehensive assessment tool that you and your employer can use to make sure that you and your job are the right fit. And if you're between jobs, you can use the Career Direct Complete Guidance System as an interview tool. When you share your Career Direct results with a potential employer, they'll be able to see that you have the talent and skills they're looking for. It'll set you apart from other candidates. The Career Direct Complete Guidance System can be completed in about an hour online. Just go to CareerDirectOnline.org, and to get started, try the free personality ID profile. That's CareerDirectOnline.org, or call 1-800-722-1976.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and today we're talking about how to make a wise financial decision. You and I are faced with decisions all day long. And right now, with the speed of change that's going on in the economy, in the markets, in our culture, many of you are trying to decide, how do I make a great decision? So I'm going through some of the processes that I think will help you. And I think there are seven clear steps. The first step is to understand the big picture or the context of your financial circumstances. The second one is to understand the real problem. What's the root issue that needs to be dealt with? Don't make a surface-based decision. And then the third one is to understand the consequences of your choices. Good decisions will lead to good consequences. Bad decisions will lead to bad consequences every time. And we talked about the false assumption that more is always better. You know, many times we assume that if a job will pay me more, that that will be better. But in fact, it may actually cost you more to have that job. It may cost you more time away from your family. It may cost you with heavy loads of stress. It may take all the margin out of your life. It may not be fulfilling for what God's called you to do. But if we don't measure that up front and understand that every financial decision will have consequences, then you may have an appearance of more, but actually end up with less. I have a friend who said that in the decade of 2000, we ended up with what he called $1,000 a week millionaires. Now, here's what he meant by that. that there are many people who are earning $1,000 a week and trying to live like millionaires. They've moved into their McMansion, they've purchased their two cars with leather seats and all the built-in accessories, and they look really, really affluent on the outside. But they're actually trapped, they're ensnared, trying to live way beyond their means. And today they're experiencing the devastating consequences of making poor financial decisions. Here's step number four. If you're going to make a wise financial decision, after you've understood the big picture, after you've understood the real issues, and after you've weighed the consequences of the choices before you, it is important that you understand God's word. Psalm 1:1 says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked." Now, many people think that because people are good with money, that their advice is superior to God's word. Now, experience and success with handling money is a good thing, and certainly it has some validity, but not if it contradicts God's word. God's word has to be the cornerstone for every financial decision that you make if you want to be wise. Here's a real-time example. There's a very popular talk show host who's been giving lots of opinion about the economy and the investments that he thinks you should make. And recently, this person came out and said that diversification is a failed investment philosophy, that it doesn't work, it's been proven wrong, and that people should not diversify, they should concentrate their assets and focus on one thing that they know very well. Well, does that contradict a biblical principle in your mind? How about Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 2, "Give portions to seven, yes to eight, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land." In other words, Solomon said, diversification is far safer than being concentrated in one asset. Now, it may be true that you don't make as much return over the long haul, but it's far safer. Now, how could you tell a person today who had invested their life saving in a fund managed by Bernie Madoff? And Bernie Madoff was the only place where they had invested their money. In other words, they had thrown diversification to the wind and said, "I'm making so much more in this one area that I'm going to put all of my investments in this focused, concentrated area. Forget what the scripture says. Forget what everybody else says. A lot of people are making a lot of money with Bernie. Therefore, I'm going to invest with Bernie Madoff." Well, suddenly you're going to experience that bad choices have bad consequences. And God's word says we don't know what disaster may come. So if you diversify, you're never as vulnerable as a person who's basically bet the farm. Well, here's step number five. Seek wise counsel. Proverbs 22:4 says, "Humility and fear of the Lord bring wealth." Now, these experts who are out there today trying to convince you in this very self-confident, self-assured, bold way that they know exactly what you need to do, how you need to do it, and where you need to put your money, they live by a principle that Larry Burkett called, "They're often wrong, but they're never in doubt." In other words, they don't feel accountable to anybody. They just want to give out advice, and even though it may be wrong and flawed, and even though they know they can't tell the future, they continue to posture and act like they can. Now, the Lord says, if you're humble and you fear Him, then that will bring wealth. And a part of that humility is being willing to ask godly people their opinion. No matter how small the decision you have to make, or how large it may be, ask other people their counsel, especially if you're married. Ask your spouse. And I know many of you right now are saying, "Well, my spouse doesn't know what he or she is talking about. They're the problem with our finances." The Lord says, humble yourself. Talk about these things. Your marriage is more important than the money. And the Lord would rather you experience unity in your marriage than have a high yield on your finances. And so you have to humble yourself and believe God's word and seek wise counsel. Well, there's two more steps we're going to talk about in making wise financial decisions. We've got to take a break, but we'll be right back. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley.
A successful business in a challenging economy takes more than hard work and a business degree. It takes wisdom. The kind of wisdom that can only come from the time-proven principles of leadership, decision-making, and people skills found in the Bible. Authored by financial expert Larry Burkett, Business by the Book provides a step-by-step outline from God's Word on topics such as hiring, borrowing and lending, tithing on business income, and much more. Whether you're a startup, an established firm, or you work for someone else, Business by the Book will coach you through important decisions and guide you with wisdom from God's Word. To purchase your copy of Business by the Book or to learn more about other business tools and resources, go to crown.org. That's crown.org. Or call us at 1-800-722-1976. Begin building a biblical foundation for business success today.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Today we're talking about seven steps to making wise financial decisions. Number one, understand the context or the big picture. Number two, understand the real problem associated with the decision. Number three, understand the consequences of your choices. Number four, never go against God's Word. Be sure your decision is consistent with God's Word. And number five, seek wise counsel. Humble yourself. Go and ask other people, especially your spouse if you're married. And here's number six. Before you make a financial decision, particularly one that's weighty and has major consequences in your life, pray and fast. Interact with God. Ask for His counsel. Seek His wisdom. Be patient. Wait on the Lord. And ask Him to direct your steps. Be sure you don't assume that you've done that, especially if you're facing a major financial decision. And then here's number seven. If you're going to make wise financial decisions and you've gone through these steps in this process, make a decision. Make a decision and accept the consequences and stop worrying. You don't know if you're going to win or lose on that decision. No man knows, but you have to make a decision. So don't be paralyzed by fear. I have a great example of someone near to me and my family who in March of 2006 made a wise financial decision. His financial advisor told him that when he sold his primary residence and he was going to downsize, preparing for the latter years of his life, the senior years of his life, the financial advisor told him to take all the cash out of his house and put it in the stock market, to buy a home on 100% financing with an interest-only note so that he would have a very good tax advantage write-off for all the money he was going to make in the market, and that that strategy would be a very good strategy for him for his senior years. Now, mind you, this man had given him financial advice for 20 years, and this person who's very dear to me wrote back his financial advisor and said this, "I've been weighing the pros and cons of your thoughts, and my decision, with which my wife agrees, is that I want to proceed with my original plan to buy our new home with cash and pay for it outright. I'm very concerned over the macroeconomic fundamentals of our nation's economy, and I don't want to take on a large debt on our home and be in a position that the market has to improve so that I can someday pay off my house if I do well in the market. We prefer liquidity and flexibility at our age and would rather be debt-free than betting on the upside potential of the market." Well, he wrote that in March of 2006, and by March of 2009, if he had invested all of his money in the market, he would have lost 40% to date and still owed 100% on his home and paying interest only. He made a wise financial decision, and he followed many of these steps. Well, I hope you've been encouraged, and you too will make wise financial decisions. I'm Chuck Bentley. You've been listening to Money Life.